Support, but Alejandro needs support. They need support so they can continue in country Honduras. And sadly, these people cannot come to the States. Brother Samuel had tried to get a visa, and the embassy have denied the visa. Brother Henry had tried to get a visa, and they have denied his visa. So for them, it's hard to come to the States. So my goal this 2017 is to be able to raise support for them. So after the service, if that's okay with you, I would love to give you a prayer card of them. So you can have in your Bible, and you can pray for Brother Samuel Amaya. So God continue to use him in the country Honduras. Pray for Brother Carlos, his wife, they're going to have a baby. So God continue using them. And pray for Pastor Henry, that he has these four kids. Pastor Henry, boy, I don't know if you heard of him, but almost two months ago, his son broke his arm completely. The bone was sticking out. And he makes $50. The surgery, it cost them $650. How in the world are he going to pay for $50 he makes a month to feed his family? So he said, Pastor Andrade, I don't know what I'm going to do. I was able to raise some money, and we were able to make the surgery for his son. Now he's better. And his wife texted me the other day. He said, Pastor, if you shouldn't help me with that money, my son should stay like that with the arm broken. Because we don't have the funds to pay. In Honduras, it's not like most of the lot of places that you could try to get help, financial, or you can make monthly payments. Not in Honduras. If you don't bring the money in front, they don't let you in the hospital. So thank the Lord. Pray for this young man so God will continue using them in the country of Honduras. Pray for our family. If after the service, they'll be great. I would love to give you a prayer card so you can pray for us. I know you will look at it and you say, oh, what an ugly boy. But you will look at it and you say, what a beautiful family. So please pray for the family and Andrade family so God will continue using us in the country of Honduras. Thank the Lord. We are preaching in the radio station. We preach in one radio station on Tuesdays, 3 hours. Wednesdays 3 hours, and Fridays 3 hours. And not only in that radio station, but we preach in another radio station. This radio station, we preach from 6 to 8 p.m. every single day. Pastor, a couple weeks ago, they offered me if I want to have the radio station 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for us. They said, you know what, this is what amazed me, Pastor. This owner of this radio station, he said, he's a person that does not believe in God. He doesn't believe in God. He opened this supposedly Christian radio station just to get competition against another radio station. And he met a young boy, name is Antonio Troche. This young boy came to our church. He was saved and baptized. And Brother Antonio, when he was a young boy, when he was in high school, his dream is to be a media guy. He wanted to study for media, to work in the TV or to work in the radio. And he said, Pastor Andrade, that's my dream. And when I started our radio station, the first radio station that we started, I told Brother Antonio, you want to come and help me out? And he went to help me out at the radio station. But after a couple months, this man offered him a job there. So he went over there, and he said, you know what? I don't need a radio station. I'm not a Christian, he said a couple months ago. I want to close the radio station, he said. But you know what? You're a good young boy, he said. And I love your church. I love how you preach. I love how your church preach. I like how the way your church is. He said, I want to keep it just because of you. He said, I want to give it to you so you can use it the 24 hours and the 7 days a week. Please pray for that, brothers and sisters, so God will provide so we can maintain the radio station. You know, we need to pay light. We need to pay different stuff so we can maintain the radio station. If God's will, our goal is this year to get the radio station and have it 24 hours a day. But not only that, brothers, but God's been so good to us. This past December, we were able to get equipment to record our own preachings and to have our own studio. And now we have our own channel that we preach the gospel 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Over 5,000 homes watch this channel. And now they can hear the gospel the 24 hours a day. If there's somebody who wakes up at 3 in the morning, 2 in the morning, desperate, that they want to maybe take their life or something's wrong with their family, and they can turn the TV and hear a preaching, their life can be changed. And pray for that radio, that TV station that we have. And it's 24 hours a day. And so God continued providing our needs of that TV station. But not only that, brothers and sisters, in 2015, the mayor of our city, Sonaguera, called Jeffrey Lopez. I was able to win him to Christ a couple years ago. And he called me, Pastor Dennis. He said, Pastor Andrade, I want to have a meeting with you. I was able to show up at the meeting. And inside the meeting, when I got to the meeting office, his office, it was the whole cabinet of the city hall. And not only that, but in that meeting, it was there the minister of education from our city. And everybody there was paying attention to the meeting. He said, Pastor Andrade, it's sad. In our country of Honduras, we have a lot of crime. And we cannot control the crime. It's sad. We have tried to control our crime through those different ways, politics, different social works, and different stuff. But we cannot control it, he said. And he said, you know what, Pastor Andrade, I believe with all my heart, the only difference for this world is Jesus Christ, our Lord Savior. That's the only difference. That's the only thing that's going to change our world. That's the only thing that's going to change our teenagers. That's the only thing that's going to change our kids. And that's the only way we need. We need Jesus Christ, our Lord Savior. He said, you know what? It's sad. It's sad. That in our public schools, we don't let the Bible inside. He said, it's sad. Then the public school, we don't let the Bible inside. But it's okay. We can take the Bibles to prison. It's okay that the Bible can be in prison. It's okay that these people that already have been doing suicide, these people that already have killed, these people that have robbed, these bad people need a Bible. But the kids don't need the Bible. He says it's sad that they would want to fix a tree when it has grown so big. He said, we don't fix a tree when it's grown up. We fix a tree when it's growing up. And in the same way, we fix our kids, we fix our teenagers when they're young, when they're your kids. He said, they're like a sponge, that they take everything. And we teach them from the Word of God, they're going to take the good things. He said, it's right. Probably we're not going to have a good Honduras right now, but I believe with all my heart. If we preach the Word of God in the public schools, he said, in 20, 30 years, we will see a difference in our country, Honduras. Amen. He said, you know what, Pastor Andrade, right at this moment, next to the Minister of Education, we signed a law. And this law is to give you authority and permission to come to our schools and preach at least 1 hour a week.
Amen.
Wow, brothers and sisters. We're talking about a population of 47,000 population, 12,000 kids, teenagers, and preach to them at least 1 hour a week. I'm like, wow. But he said, Pastor Andrade, we have a problem. Our problem is this. In Honduras, we don't have no print shops. Bibles print shops. He said, we need Bibles. In our schools, we got guidebooks. We got science, social studies, math, Spanish, English. Oh, we need a book, a guidebook. And that book is the Word of God. The kids need to get a Bible in their hands so they can open it and they can see it from their own eyes. And their mind can change and their hearts can change. He said, we need Bibles. He said, can you help us in that? I'm like, wow. I was excited that we could preach in schools. But now get Bibles in schools. That's a lot of work. So I started calling pastors here in the States. And I was able to call to our director, our mission board. And he told me, give you a couple days. Let me see what I can do for you. Well, time passed by. After 3 weeks, he called me. He said, Pastor Andrade, I got good news for you. You want to hear it, brothers and sisters? The good news was this, that he found a print shop here in the States, in Ohio, American League. He said, American League said that they will print all the Bibles that you need for free. Oh, brothers, sisters, who doesn't love free stuff? Free donuts, free coffee, free pancakes, free ice cream. Who loves free stuff? Everybody loves free stuff. And why not get free Bibles? But you know, I need to ship the Bibles to Honduras. And I went to the post office. And I went to FedEx. And when I went to UPS, and they charged by pound. And you know, brothers and sisters, this book has power. This book changed my dad's life. This book changed my family's life. This book has changed my life. This book changed your life, brothers and sisters. And because they have changed your life, this book has power, brothers and sisters. And because it has power, it has weight. I'm like, what am I going to do? I start pulling my hair out. What am I going to do? Too much money to ship Bibles. Well, I start praying. A couple of weeks passed by. I was able to meet a guy in North Carolina. I heard about him. His name is Oscar Figueroa. Please pray for him, Pastor. Mr. Oscar Figueroa has his own company that he ships boxes to Honduras. And I went to him and I asked him, Mr. Oscar, I want to ship a box to Honduras. He said, yes, sir. I would love to ship your box. He said, what size? I gave him the size of the box. He said, I just want to find out why you're going to ship inside the box. I don't want to get in trouble with customs. I told him, I'm going to ship Bibles. He looked at me, he said, just Bibles? I told him, yes. He said, are you going to open a bookstore over there in Honduras or what? I told him, no, I want to ship Bibles over there because God had opened the doors over there in Honduras so we can give Bibles in the public school. He looked at me, he said, what? I'm in Honduran. I was safe in a Baptist church. My wife was safe in a Baptist church, and I want my country to change. I want Honduras to change. And he said, I will help you out. And I look at him, and I told him, how are you going to help me out? He said, you know what? I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to ship you the boxes to the port of Honduras for free.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, free, two times free, free Bibles, free shipping. What else do we want, brothers and sisters? That's exciting, brothers and sisters. But he said, but I had to pay a company to take the boxes out of the port and ship it to you. We're like 8 hours away from the port. And I asked him, but I want to find out how much the company is going to charge me. He took his calculator out. He started making his math. He said, but you know what? I would just ship you. And I would just charge you $1. For each Bible. $1 for each Bible. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if you understand. One Bible, $1 a Bible, make a difference. $1 can take a Bible to Honduras to a young boy, a girl, a teenager. You don't know who's that person. That person could be the next person who could kill many people. That person could be a person who could be a gang banger. But God can change his life. And his life can be changed for $1, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Please pray for that. 2015, we were able to ship 12,000 Bibles. Of that 12,000 Bibles, we were able to see 7,000 come to Christ. Last year, sadly, we didn't have the budget. All the budget that we needed. And we were able just to ship 7,000 Bibles. But of that 7,000 Bibles, we were able to see 2,000 coming to Christ.
Amen.
3 weeks ago, we were able to give out. I was over there in Honduras, and I was able to give out 1,258. Of that 1,258 Bibles, 1,143 came to Christ. Brother and sister, that's amazing. 1,143 that we took out of hell, Pastor. 1,143 that their lives can be changed. Their life's going to be changed. The Christ is living in their heart now. And their life is going to be different. God is doing good things in the country of Honduras. And I need your prayers. So God will help us this year, 2017, be able to raise money for Bibles more. After we start working in our city of Sonaguera, we gave all the Bibles to all the kids. We went to the mountains, villages, colonias, barrios, everywhere of Sonaguera. After we did that, the media man, main media man, you know, every city we have a main media man, you know. And this main media man called me. He said, Pastor Andrade, we have seen a difference. After you give the Bibles out, we have seen a big difference. Of our crime rate has come down so bad that we have not seen in our history of Sonaguera. I told him because of God and the people in the States, they are supporting for these Bibles. The rest of the mayors around our city start calling me, say, Pastor Andrade, I need what are you doing in Huntsville, Indiana? Can you come and please preach in our schools? Can you come and give Bibles in our schools? The main minister, brothers and sisters, the main minister of the whole country of Honduras wanted to meet with me to sign a law to give me official authority to go to all the schools in the country of Honduras. Sadly, there was a problem. He was not able to show up at the meeting. But I believe with all my heart, God's in control of all that. And he's letting the doors open. This 3 weeks ago that I was talking to you, I was over there, and I met a new mayor from a different city, 7,000 population. And this kid, 4,000 kids, he was trying to get me in there so I can preach to the kids. His doors are open. We started giving Bibles, pastors in San Pedro, Comayagua, Tela, different cities and around Honduras. And God is doing a great job in the country of Honduras. Let's go to the Word of God. Amen, brothers. I don't know, Pastor, how long do I have, Pastor? I have to finish fast. Brother Kevin told me that if I finish fast, he will probably buy me a Happy Meal, you know? But if I take too long, he probably just buy me 2 nuggets, he said. So I'm going to try my best to do what I can, you know? That's the reason why he's in the back, you know, sitting there waiting for me. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 5. John, chapter 5. In the meantime, you look into John, chapter 5. I want to say, please pray. This year, 2017, I want to build 2 churches more. The cost of each building is $10,000. And pray so God will provide the money so we can build 2 churches more. Our goal is to get 9 churches this year. We have 7. We want 2 more. Amen. And I know God will do his work. And pray for us. We and my family are thinking to go in August to Honduras. And we don't have the tickets yet, but I know God will provide. And so God will provide the money to buy our tickets, could go to Honduras. And the cost is $2,500. So please pray so God will provide that money so we can buy our tickets to go to the country of Honduras. Amen, brothers? John chapter 5. I believe you got them. John chapter 5. Then we're going to read a couple verses there. We're going to read from verse 1 all the way to verse 6. John chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible shows us this. After this, there was a fast of the Jewish. And Jesus went up to the Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the ship market a pool, which is called in Hebrew tongue Bethsaida, having 5 porches. In this lay a great multitude of important folks, of blind, held and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the waters. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the waters, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Verse 5, and a certain man was there, which had an infirmity of 38 years. When Jesus saw him lay and knew that he had been a long time in that case, he said unto him, "Will thou be made whole? O Lord in heaven, thank you for letting us come to your house. Thank you for this great of brothers and sisters that loves you. They have left everything they were doing so they could come here and just waiting for you to come down from heaven and put your hand, your powerful hand, in our life of each of us. Please open our ears, our eyes, our mouth, our heart, so we can understand your word of God this evening. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, amen." The Bible shows us, brothers and sisters, we see here that when Jesus Christ was on the earth, he used to travel from village to village, from city to city, from place to place, preaching his gospel. But we see, brothers and sisters, that in this place, at this particular place, there were many people that were sick. Many type of people, there were different kind of sickness, and they were in there, in that place, there it was a pool. In that pool, the Bible shows us that angel came In a certain time, it moved and shake the waters from that pool. In the time that the waters were shaken, the first person to jump in, his body was healed. But you know what, brothers and sisters? The Bible shows us about a certain man. I want to talk a little bit about this certain man. This certain man was there, and he's been there for a long time. I believe with all my heart, brothers and sisters, this certain man, he was close to his death. He was close to die almost, I believe with all my heart. I believe with all my heart, brothers and sisters, this certain man, when he started getting sick, I believe that his family, I believe that his friends, I believe that he took all his money he had and he went to the best doctors around the city trying to find a hope. But every time that he knocked at a doctor's office, hoping that that doctor was going to help him, he knocked at the doctor's office, and the doctor said, come in, and then he talked to the doctor, and you know what? Sadly, every time when he come out of the doctor's office, the only word that he heard from the doctors was this: I'm sorry. Those are the same words that we hear every time. Those are the same words that we hear that they people, the doctor says, I'm sorry, I cannot help you with your cancer. I cannot help you with your teenagers. I cannot help you with your marriage. I cannot help you. And every time he was going to different doctors trying to get help, but sadly there was nobody who can help him. The world is trying to say, I can help the gangs. We can help the drug addicts. We can help the alcohol people. We can help the marriage. We can help the people. But sadly, every time, it's getting worse and worse and worse. Amen. I'm from Chicago. In our city of Chicago, and sadly, this past year, we got a bad murder rate. And the mayor of our city of Chicago, he said, this year, we're going to put more police in the streets. We're going to put more federal people in the streets so we can control our gangs, so we can control the people. In Honduras, the president of Honduras have taken the soldiers out of the camps and put them in the streets to try to control the gangs, to try to control the cartel. But you know what, brothers and sisters? I got an answer for Mr. President of Honduras and the mayor of Chicago. That's not a solution for our world. The only solution for our world is Jesus Christ, our Lord Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only solution. It's not the doctors. It's not the police. It's not how many federal you have. It's not how many social work do you have. Or what can you do with teenagers? It's what they need in their hearts. Amen. That's the only solution. The world is trying to look for a solution. But sadly, there's no solution for them in the world. The devil tried to paint and put your beautiful picture. And he said, if you belong to our cartel, do you belong to our group, we're going to give you a nice house. You're going to have a lot of money in the bank. We're going to have a lot of stuff. But it said, the world offers you that. When you turn around, they put your knife in the back. The devil does not have a solution. The world doesn't have a solution. No president has solutions. No government has solutions. The only solution is Jesus Christ, our Lord Savior. We see this evening of a certain man. This certain man was there for many years. Sick. But you know what the Bible shows us? The Bible shows us that Jesus Christ came to him. You remember that day, brother, when Christ passed by your house? When Christ came and knocked at your house and he said, may I come to your heart? And you say, come in. Remember that day when Christ came by your house and he said, I want to change your family. I want to change your kids. I want to change your life. And you say, yes, come in. And Christ changed your life. Amen. And the same thing, Christ passed by there. And he said to this man, you want to get healed? You want to be holy? But this certain man answered this answer. He said, every time the angel comes and shake the water of the pool, and when I get up to try to get in, somebody else. Those are the same words the world said. Pastor, I'm trying to stop drinking. I'm trying to stop and take the alcohol out from my hands. I'm trying to stop. But every time I try to stop drinking, my friends invite me to drink. Then the same words when the teenager said, I'm trying, Pastor. I'm trying, Papa. I'm trying, Mama. Doing drugs. I'm trying. But every time I try to stop doing drugs, my friends invite me to do some more drugs. That's the same word that we hear outside in the street that people say, I'm trying. But every time I try, I get in trouble. Because the world will never help you out. The only person can change your life is Jesus Christ, our Lord Savior. Brothers and sisters, what it gets in my mind is this words that he said. Every time I try to get in, somebody jumps in. My question is this, Pastor. Where are the religion people?
Right.
Where are the ones that crucified my Christ? Where are the ones that said, I'm religion people. I'm the one. We're holy. Where are they? Why they couldn't go to this pool and put the people in the pool? Where are the disciples of Christ? Where are the Christians? That's what the world says when I'm trying to change. But you know what? There's nobody who takes me to the cross. Nobody who cares about me. Nobody who wants to take me to the cross so my life can change, so my marriage can change, so my kids can change, so my grandkids can change, so I can be a different person. There's no Christian. There's no Baptist. The world's waiting for many years for somebody to take them to the cross. But there's nobody who wants to take him to the cross. Nobody who cares about him. Like Samuel Amaya, this young boy that used to live in the landfill. Nobody cares about him. You heard the story. You have heard the story before that I have told you about this Samuel Amaya, this young boy, when he used to live in the landfill, starving for death, hoping for somebody to give him something to eat. And that day, it was 4 o'clock, and he was waiting for something to eat, and the garbage truck shows up, and the first thing that he saw that is coming up from the garbage truck is a box of Oreo cookies. And he tried to run for the Oreo cookies. He ran and he ran. But sadly, he didn't have no sandals. Sadly, he didn't have no shoes. When he was halfway, there was a piece of glass that cut his leg. He started bleeding. He started crying because somebody else came and took the box of Oreo cookies. Said, Pastor, I was hoping somebody can help me out. I was hoping somebody who can give me food. But thank God, there was American people that care and gave money so I could come out of that landfill and was sent to the children's home. I was safe in the children's home. And now my life has changed. Now I can preach behind the pulpit because Christ has come to my life. Many years. Somebody was waiting for somebody to take him to the cross. Henry Gomez, this pastor, 8 years ago, I show up at his village. Sir Henry Gomez was an alcohol man, was a drug addict man. He used to do it every weekend after he finished working. He used to take the drugs and smoke and drink. His mother-in-law was telling me the other day, he said, I thought nobody was going to change him. I used to tell my daughter, Henry's wife, the mother-in-law of Henry said, I used to tell my daughter, leave Henry, go with somebody else. Henry's not going to change, he's not worth it. He said, but you know what? Oneida texted me a couple weeks ago, he said, Pastor Andrade, I remember the day when a young man came to our village. He invited me to church. He said, and that Sunday night, I went to church. I heard you preaching. He said, that young man was you, Pastor. And I heard you preaching. And I accept Christ as my Savior. I went back home and I told Henry, you need to go next week to Sonaguera. You need to hear that crazy preacher over there in Sonaguera. Henry said, why? But finally, she convinced Henry. The next Sunday, Henry came to the church. He came to the front crying, and he gave his heart to Christ. Henry Gomez, God had given me the opportunity to marry them now, baptize them, and not only that, but God had given me the opportunity to train him, and now he preached in three churches. Now he pastors three churches. Now he preaches on the radio. He preaches on the TV. He preaches in the school. He has a heart for the Lord. Why? Because he was waiting for somebody who could take him to the cross. Carlos Gomez, young boy, he was 15 years old. He came to church. He accepted Christ. I told him that the command of God is after getting saved is to get baptized. He said, Pastor, I want to get baptized. And I remember that Sunday morning when he got baptized. But you know what, brothers and sisters? He had that joy that he got baptized. But when he went back to his house, Mama and Daddy was waiting for him with a spanking, with a paddle in their hands. Carlos said, my dad and my mom beat me up so bad. And they told me these words, Pastor. They told me, you're not my son no more. You have changed our religion. Don't call us, Papa and Mama. And they kicked me out of my house. And not only that, but they told me, I want you to go to the neighbors and you tell them that you have changed our religion. And he went like a business boy. He went to all the neighbors and told them that he had got baptized in a Baptist church. And their people swear at him, tell him a bunch of stuff bad. He said, Carlos, he said, Pastor Andrade, I thought that a Christian family was not worth it, where everything that happened. But you came to me alive. You brought me to the church. You trained me. And now I got married with Saida. He said, but you know what, Pastor? He sent me a text on January. He said, Pastor, my mom and my daddy got saved in January of this year. And 3 weeks ago, I was able to baptize his dad. But how many people are waiting for somebody to take him to the cross? I just want to say this couple words and I leave and I finish. Because Brother Kevin, he really wants to take me to get some nuggets. I believe with all my heart, I got the best wife in the whole world. I believe with all my heart, I got the best missionary of the other world. I know you don't believe me. That's fine. You don't believe me. That's fine. Me and my wife travels to the mountains. 5-6 hours up the mountain. Remember that day that we were traveling to Brisas of Miramar, where Pastor Carlos is pastoring now. Remember that day that I show up there? And the guy in charge of the tribe, the guy who's in charge of that village, of that mountain, of that place, his name is Jose Garcia. That place is all the way in the mountain. Nobody cares for them. Politic people don't show up there. If the people there get sick, they die there. People don't come to the city. They don't know the city. There are people that have been forgiveness. There are people that nobody cares about them. We show up at there, and we start preaching in schools, and we start giving Bibles in schools. After we finish, Mr. Jose Garcia said these words to me. Pastor Andrade, you have given us this precious book, but who's going to continue teaching us from this park? Sadly, we have a church here. It's a Catholic church. It's been 8 years, 8 years that the priest had not come up here. 8 years, brothers and sisters. He said, but who's going to continue preaching to us? My heart broke so much. And I just remember that verse that the Bible shows us. The fields are ready,
but the workers are few.
And I said, Lord, I cannot do it. I got 7 churches. I got the TV. I got the radio. I got the schools. I can't do it. It's your God. Before I was leaving from the village, Mr. Jose Garcia called me and say, hey, Pastor, I don't want your wife to go back walking the mountain. My brother is going to let the horse borrow so she can walk back. I remember when we were walking down, I would just remember that word that Mr. Jose Garcia was saying, who is going to come and preach to us about this word? When we got to the road to get our car, I remember Mr. Seferino, Brother Jose's brother, he told me these words, when are you coming back? When? I went home, I couldn't sleep. My heart was broken. Remember the next day I drove to Sabah, and the young boys were behind me in the car. And I told the young boys, I told Pastor Samuel, and I told Carlos, I told, my heart is broken for that people in the mountain. And my brother Carlos, after a minute, I was quiet. He told me a minute later, he started crying and crying and crying. He told me, Pastor, I will go.
Why, Pastor? Why that Carlos was crying? He was crying, brother, because it's a hard road. 2 weeks ago, Brother Carlos called me. He said, Pastor, the horse that I was riding, he threw me down. And the horse went on top of me. And I almost broke my leg. There, Brother Carlos travels up the mountain every 2 weeks. Faithful. It doesn't matter if it's raining or it's not raining. It doesn't matter if it's a sunny day or not a sunny day. But Brother Carlos is always going up the mountain with his wife Saida to preach to these people around this village that people don't care about them.
Before I left, Mr. Jose Garcia came to me. He said, Pastor Andrade, you don't know this. He said, before you came to our village, I was a big alcohol man.
47 years, he said. For 47 years, every weekend, I used to get drunk. For 47 years, my family was waiting. My kids were waiting for a plate, waiting for a piece of bread in that plate. But the only thing I used to bring in the house was sorrow. 47 years, my wife was waiting for a grocery bag, but the only thing I used to bring in the house was to beat her up. 47 years, he said, 47 years waiting for somebody who can bring me and take me to the cross.
He said, after you came, my life had changed. My question is this, the same question that man said. Every time I try to get up, there's nobody who can take me to that cross. My question is this evening, how many people are trying to get up, but there's nobody who can care for them?
There's nobody like Samuel Maya waiting in the landfill, like Carlos Gomez, like Henry Gomez, like Jose Garcia. Not only like them,
but many Honduran people, many people around our area waiting for somebody to take them to the cross. But there's nobody. Oh, Lord in heaven, please forgive me. Please forgive my sins. Please forgive my wife.
Oh, Lord in heaven, please forgive my kids.
Because there's many people waiting for me to take them to the cross.
There's many people like Jose Garcia, like Samuel Maya, like Carlos, like Henry, and many other people
waiting for somebody. Oh, Lord, please forgive me. I give the rest of the invitation to the pastor.